You're listening to Music as the Substance. WDRT Viroqua.
En vivo.
The environmental full mix.
Thank you. Thank you.
women's struggle in the production of the urban commons. The structural struggle in the rural areas continues in the city. The men and women who are displaced from the land form new communities in urban areas. They took over public spaces, constructing shelters, roads, and bodegas, all through collective labor and communal decision-making. Again, women have taken a leading role. As I've written elsewhere in the peripheries of the sprawling megacities of Latin America, in areas mostly occupied through collective action, and in the face of permanent economic crisis, women are creating a new political economy based on cooperative forms of social reproduction, establishing the right to the city, and laying the groundwork for new practices in resistance and reclamation. Equally important has been the socialization of reproductive activities, like shopping, cooking, and sewing. These activities have a long history. In 1973 in Chile, after the military coup, women in proletarian settlements, paralyzed by fear and subject to a brutal austerity program, pooled their labor and resources. They began to shop and cook together in teams of 20 or more in the barrios where they lived. Born out of necessity, these initiatives produced far more than an expansion of limited resources. The act of coming together and rejecting the isolation into which the Pinochet regime was forced them qualitatively transformed their lives, giving them self-esteem and breaking the paralysis induced by the government's strategy of terror. It also reactivated the circulation of information and knowledge that is essential to resistance, and it transformed the concept of what it means to be a good mother and wife, contributing to its redefinition as going outside the home and participating in social struggles. The work of social reproduction ceased to be a purely domestic and individual activity. Housework went into the streets alongside the big ollas, cooking pots, and acquired a political dimension. These politics did not escape the notice of the authorities, who came to view organizing popular kitchens as a subversive communist activity. In response to this threat to their power, police launched olla smashing raids in the barrios, as some of the women involved in the popular kitchen recalled. With 300 people involved, it was difficult to hide what was going on. They came and turned the food stores upside down. They made us stop cooking and took all the leaders prisoner. They came many times, but the kitchen went on. The police came. "What's going on here, a communal kitchen? Sir, why are you doing it if you know it is prohibited?" "Because we are hungry. Stop cooking," they said. It was political. The beans were half-cooked, and we had to throw them all away. The police came many times, but we managed to keep the kitchen going, 1 week in one house, the next week in another. It is generally agreed that such survival strategies boosted the community's sense of solidarity and identity and demonstrated women's capacity to reproduce their lives without having to be completely dependent on the market, helping in the post-coup period to keep alive the popular movement that had brought Allende to power. By the 1980s, it was strong enough to mount a successful resistance to the dictatorship. Collective forms of social reproduction have also proliferated in Peru, Argentina, and Venezuela. According to the Uruguayan social theorist Raúl Zibecki, in the 1990s, in Lima alone, there were 15,000 popular organizations providing glasses of milk or breakfast for children and organizing soup kitchens and neighborhood councils. In Argentina, the piqueteras, proletarian women who, together with their children and many young men, took an important role in response to the catastrophic 2001 economic crisis that for months paralyzed the country. They organized roadblocks, built encampments, and assembled barricades, piquetes, that lasted at times more than a week. Paraphrasing what Zibecki writes concerning the famous Madres of the Plaza de Mayo, we can say that the piqueteras understood the importance of occupying a public space. They reorganized their social reproductive activities in the street, cooking, cleaning, taking care of children, and maintaining social relations, and in the process, communicated to the struggle a passion and courage that strengthened and enriched it. The testimony of the Cuban social science researcher Isabel Rauber is significant. From the beginning, from the first pickets, the presence of women and their children was crucial. Determined not to go back home without something to put in their pots, The women went to the piquetes to defend their lives with teeth and nails. Determined to achieve their objectives, they immediately participated and guaranteed the organization of daily life on the barricades, which often lasted more than a day. If tents had to be set up, if it was necessary to take turns watching over the security of the piquetes, to prepare food, for sure together with the men, to construct barricades and defend the positions, there were the women. What Rauber underlines, which I would argue applies to many women's struggles today in Latin America and beyond, is that as neoliberalism unleashes a genocidal attack on people's means of subsistence, the role of women in the struggle becomes more fundamental. The struggle against it must be rooted in the activities that reproduce our lives because, in the words of a male militant Rauber quotes, everything begins in our daily life and then is translated into political terms. Where there is no everyday life, there is no organization, and where there is no organization, there is no politics.
Yeah. Thank you. Amoxcalco, Pehuacuica. jeje kowa kimoja wa sochiku unawuya kwikatu ikawaka kwikatu ojuwani ewatiwa zam kinangili ya tuksokajaka kimoja wa sochiku.